Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we bring Sunday home. Join us as we dive deeper into First Baptist's weekly sermons, discuss practical applications, and answer your questions. Hello and welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast. I'm Jordan Upton, and with me as always is Pastor Jeff Reynolds. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I am still riding the high from Easter Sunday and all of Holy Week, and so I am kind of exhausted a little bit, but still so joyful over the experiences that we got to have over the course of the past week, you know, starting with Palm Sunday and David Phelps coming, but even before David Phelps got here, seeing those kids march around the sanctuary on Palm Sunday, and in the years that I've been here, I've never seen that many children come through waving palm branches, and it was just so exciting, and there's so many good things going on in our children's ministry and our youth ministry. But then that night for David Phelps to be here, which has been a dream of mine for years and years, and the guy's got such an incredible voice and such an incredible ministry. And so we were thankful to have him. And then Good Friday, my goodness, our choir and orchestra under the direction of Ricky Clark. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, just so they truly led us to the cross in such a remarkably powerful way. And you know this, but our listeners may not, but in my family, we have a tradition on Good Friday where we eat lamb. And we do that to remember. And we drink grape juice, the fruit of the vine, and we do that to remember. So you actually inspired us years ago to actually have our own family Passover Seder. And so we did that. We've done that a few times. And then that's kind of morphed into this meal where typically we're in a bit of a rush, and you need to take your time with the Passover Seder because, you know, there's a lot to it and a lot of important parts that you don't want to just skip over. So what we have condensed it into, because we're in a hurry, because, you know, dad works at church and you got to be there, is we get lamb chops, we get grape juice, we talk about the Passover lamb, we talk about how Jesus is our Passover lamb, and we talk about the grape juice and the cups within the Seder, and how after the supper, Jesus gave the cup, took the cup, and it was the third cup. It was the cup of God's redemption of his people, and that redemption would now be in Jesus Christ. And so it's just such a special moment. And now we had it with mashed potatoes and green beans, but nevertheless, you know, and those weren't part of the original Passover Seder. It's just a special moment. And then we come and have that Good Friday service. And then we had our Easter egg hunt at Bowling Green Scholar House, and Lauren got an amazing petting zoo again. Our youth put on a phenomenal skit. But then we also gave out Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Easter. And Lauren had put together these snack bags that had all these little different treats in them. But each treat, she put a meaning to it, like the pretzel sticks represent the cross of Christ. And, you know, just really, really sweet. Literally and figuratively as well. So I wasn't trying to be punny there, but it happened. And so it was so cool. And a lot of the residents from the Scholar House and their kids came out, and they had a pony. and unfortunately, my son was too big to ride the pony. His sister was going to give him $25 to do a pony ride because she thought that would be hilarious. Mm-hmm. And he weighs too much for the pony, so oh well. But he did pick up one of the lambs or the little goats. They had two baby goats that were just, I almost bought a goat to keep at the house, but I didn't. And then Easter Sunday, and just phenomenal. Our biggest Easter Sunday since COVID. And so we continue to come out of COVID. That's a beautiful thing. And more people are coming back to in-person service. But I'll just say our choir ended the service with the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah. And it's like, you know, it's the Hallelujah Chorus. How do you, you don't top that.
No.
Anyway, I'm exhausted, but it's so good and just wonderful. How about you guys? How was your Easter? Did you have a good one?
Yeah, it was great. You know, we were out of town the first part of the week, and so we missed the David Phelps concert. Mm-hmm. And Taylor was really wanted to go to that, but we were out of town. But Man, I just forgot how much was going on.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah. It was a lot.
It was a huge.
Well, and right now, we've got a team of our students who are in Staten Island, New York. So we're recording this on Monday. So this is April Fool's Day, but this is not a, we're not tricking you.
Right.
No, I just got a text that our students have landed in New York and they are getting ready to go to the church with which they'll be serving. And I mean, it was such a big group of students. TJ, our youth pastor, actually had to go and add more spots and they've had to work out different transportation there because we had so many kids who wanted to be a part of serving the Lord. And they're giving up their spring break for this. I mean, they're going on spring break to serve Jesus by sharing the gospel in New York City, and we are just so excited for them. In fact, Chad Walden is there, and he is chronicling the trip to a degree, and he's also serving as an adult chaperone. So Chad, who is unrecognizable now. In fact, they were setting up for Good Friday or tearing down after Good Friday. And I'm like, oh, who's that guy? Because Chad has had long hair ever since I've known him.
Yeah.
And it's gone.
No way.
He cut it short. So I'm like, oh, who's that? Hey, that's Chad. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. So anyway. Chad is, he said he wanted to be sure that when we went to Greece to follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, that it would all be good. He would be cool because it might get warm. Yeah. And so anyway, very cool.
Yeah. Understandable. Well, and Jeff, you know, reflecting on your message from Sunday, you were talking about the different characters in the Passion story and, you know, you were talking about, you know, Mary, and then there's John who's at the cross, and then there's the other disciples who aren't there.
Yeah.
And I got stuck on Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and, you know, they were members of the Sanhedrin, and then they went and asked for the body of Jesus.
Yes.
And, you know, proved they were faithful disciples, you know, in the end, you know, on that day.
But you think about, so this is so huge. Actually, if you go into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, there is a separate tomb that is known as the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah.
And we went to it. Like, we went, and you kind of go down into this cave-esque sort of place. It's very near the tomb of Jesus, which was originally the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But you just, you see how God has honored him for honoring his son. Mm-hmm. So Psalm 2, kiss the son. But anyway, but think about what it meant for Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to touch a dead body during Passover.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah. Well, and what does that mean? I mean, I know what that means, but
tell them.
Yeah. Well, if you touch a dead body, you would not be able to eat the Passover lamb, which was huge.
You have made yourself ceremonially unclean.
Yeah.
And so they are willing. In the context of the fact that the Sanhedrin has condemned Jesus, they are willing to now come out and say, you know what, we'll go to Pilate, we'll take care of the body, and they anoint the body of Jesus, 75 pounds of spices wrapped in linen strips. And so their love for Jesus even compelled them to do something that took them out of the great celebration that all of their colleagues would be enjoying. And they may have even had leadership roles in various seders or things of that nature. So that's a huge deal.
Yeah, there's just so much there. There's just so much that we can't get into today's podcast. But we'll focus on the passage from this week. It was 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. man, that's just such a powerful passage with so much going on.
It really is.
Man. Okay, so Peter referenced that we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, rather than being freed from corporeality or ascending to heaven as a spirit, Jesus bodily resurrected on the third day. And the apostles mentioned that time and time again. Why does the resurrection matter so much?
Well, let's first look at what the Bible says about the resurrection. So in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, "Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." So he was delivered up as the sacrifice for our sins, the substitutionary atonement for our sins. But he was raised, the Bible says, for our justification. In other words, our justification is not complete without the resurrection. What is God doing in the resurrection? He is declaring Jesus Christ to be the Son of God in power by raising him from the dead. And he's declaring that Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is writing to some folks in Corinth who don't believe in a resurrection at all, and then therefore don't believe that Jesus Christ was bodily raised from the dead. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." He said, "We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised." Listen to this. "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." In other words, again, it wasn't just the cross by which we were justified. It was the cross and resurrection. Without the resurrection, we're still in our sins. And so it is vitally important. So listen to what he says. Verse 18, "Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." So it is necessary for both the cross to have happened, for that to be historical fact, and it is necessary for the bodily, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ to have happened, for that to be historical fact, for us even to be saved. So the resurrection is central, it is crucial, and for us to have a living hope, we have to have a living Savior. One of the best books you can get on this is Evidence for the Resurrection, What It Means for Your Relationship with God, written by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. And I actually got to work on my doctorate with Sean McDowell. We were partnered up in a lot of different things, particularly in our study of world religions. But on our graduation day, I got to meet Josh McDowell. That was a big deal to me because he wrote a little book entitled More Than a Carpenter that I read as a freshman in college that changed the way that I thought of the Christian faith. They are apologists, and that doesn't mean they go around apologizing to people. That means they engage in apologia. They are giving evidence for the faith. Mm-hmm. And so this entire book that was published in 2009, Evidence for the Resurrection, presents evidence for the resurrection. But they talk about why the resurrection is so important. And Josh actually quotes a book that he wrote with Thomas Williams entitled The Incredible Rumor. It was a short novel. And they compared Christ to a powerful swimmer. And I want you to hear this because I think this is a great, not only a great image for us to understand what Jesus was doing through the cross and resurrection, or even by coming to earth to dwell in a sin-fallen world and to show us what that's supposed to look like, but also to overcome the sinfulness of our sin-fallen world. So they said, "Think of death as a deep, cold river. Imagine that Satan crippled us to where we couldn't swim and then forced us into that river. We would all be doomed. But along came a giant of a man too powerful for Satan to cripple. He could swim beautifully. He offered to carry us across the river, so we climbed onto his back, attached ourselves to him, and he plunged in. The burden was great, and he sank into the depths. Satan expected him to drown, but to Satan's surprise, the swimmer came up on the far shore, bringing us up with them. That's what Jesus's death and resurrection are all about. And that's on page 50 of Evidence for the Resurrection. You see this image that they give of Christ carrying us through death, but then bringing us up on the other side. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for us. That's another way in which he identified with us as sinners, that the wages of sin is death, and death entered the world through the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. So Jesus even passed through the veil of death, but then that enemy could not hold him down. Death could not rule and reign over him. He emerged victorious over death. And for all of us who are in Christ, he brings us with him. So just as Christ has been raised, again, the Bible says he is the firstborn from among the dead. Just as Christ has been raised, so also will all who are in Christ. You know, he said to Martha, Lazarus's sister, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And so Jesus is the resurrection. And you say, well, wait a minute. Everybody I know dies. So how does that work? Well, there's a physical death that we all must endure. Our bodies will perish. But if you're in Christ, there is no spiritual death for you. You go from life to life. You simply transition. Earlier today, I was out at Hospice House with a dear saint who, if you're in Hospice House, you know what's next. And Hospice House can be such a sad place. But for those who are in Christ, there remains the hope that what they're experiencing is not the end. Mm-hmm. It is rather a transition from life to life. Actually, it's a transition from life to what is more life, what is better life, what is what we were designed to experience anyway. Beautiful, rich, joy-filled life with no pain, certainly no sin, and no stain of sin in the presence of Almighty God. So the resurrection is central. And I'll say this, you absolutely must affirm the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be a Christian. One of the reasons I ask when I baptize people, do you believe the third day Jesus rose from the grave and he's alive today? Is because if you don't affirm the bodily resurrection of Jesus, well, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 is true. If there is no resurrection, your faith means nothing. You're still in your sins. You have not, your justification has not been completed. So if you do not affirm the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. So I want to be clear about that because, frankly, there are a lot of churches who would hold to a more liberal theology that says, you don't have to worry about Jesus's resurrection. No, you really do. And it's not because Jeff thinks so. It's because the Bible says so. If there is no resurrection from the dead, if Jesus is not alive, your faith is irrelevant. Go do something else. You know, go play golf on Saturday or Sunday if you want to. But if Jesus has been raised from the dead, then that truly changes everything.
Well, and so that'll take us into today's practical application question and talking a little bit more about the resurrection. So the disciples are amazed to see Jesus resurrected, but it's not like he didn't tell them beforehand that he would die and be raised again on the third day. It can be easy to criticize the disciples for forgetting these things in the moment, but it reminds me that, you know, we can be in times of trial and lose hope and forget the promises of God. How do we build up our faith for when we're being grieved by various trials?
Well, first, let me say this. So when the women went to the tomb and the angel speaks, why do you seek the living among the dead? I'm reading from Luke's account here. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And then verse 8, I love this. And they remembered his words. It's like, oh, you know, he did say something about that, right? I mean, yeah. Like he told them what was going to happen. You go to the Gospel of John, and from John chapter 13 through John chapter 17, that's all happening in the upper room, every bit of it. They don't leave the upper room until the end of John chapter 17. So you have all sorts of teaching that is being given. But Jesus as the master teacher, still has distracted disciples. They're arguing with each other. They're wondering about, you know, which one of us is the greatest and when's he going to take over? We had the triumphal entry. He's come in from the Mount of Olives. He's come in likely through the East Gate. That's what the Messiah is supposed to do. Everybody's excited. Everybody's happy. He's cleansed the temple. You know, when are we going to just take this thing over? And then which of us are going to get to sit at his right and his left? We know that James and John have already asked the question, or at least it's either them or their mama. You know, somebody has asked, can my boys be the most important people in your kingdom? They're still trying to wrap their minds around, and even the women who had been there ministering to him. But then you look at the guys that are on the road to Emmaus. As Jesus, you know, they're kept from recognizing him. They don't recognize him. And they're like, you don't even know what's been going on, dude. You know, this crazy thing has happened. We had hoped he would be our restoration. He would be the one to deliver us. And Jesus replies to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" So he then begins with Moses and all the prophets, and he interprets to them all the scriptures concerning the Messiah or concerning himself. So we're in good company if we are going through difficult moments and we're struggling. We're in good company if we're going through difficult moments and we forget what God has said. So I want you to know you're not alone. And I'm not alone. And Jordan, you're not alone. When we get into hardship and all of a sudden it's like our minds go blank. Mm-hmm. We forget everything we've been told. I mean, Jesus made it perfectly clear multiple times. I'm going to die. I'll get up again. You know, this generation wants a sign. The only sign they're going to get is the sign of Jonah. What happened to Jonah? He went into the belly of the whale. He went into the deep and then rose again after 3 days. So, you know, throughout his ministry, Jesus had said, this is what's going to happen. But let's be honest and let's be gracious to the disciples. How many dead people you see get up? I haven't seen any. So they probably allegorize that in their minds or spiritualize that in their minds. But no, Jesus was very fleshy in what he was talking about. He came back with a real body. I love the fact that Luke, the physician, tells us that he ate. That's an important thing. And I think about the movie, I can't help it, Casper the Friendly Ghost, that came out, I think it was in the 90s or early 2000s, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just remember, you know, Casper and then Casper's siblings, maybe the more wicked ghosts, you know, they would eat and it would just chewed up food would fall to the ground because ghosts don't eat, right? They don't have digestive systems. Well, Jesus was able to eat fish and they didn't say, and then the fish plopped to the ground. No, I mean, he's got a real body. And so, you know, we can give the disciples some grace, but I want us to also give ourselves some grace. Because no matter how many times we've read the Bible, no matter how many times we've been to church and we've heard the promises of God, it can be easy to forget when life gets really tough. And for these disciples, they were at the epitome of life getting tough. For the women going to the tomb, life had gotten remarkably tough. For the disciples sitting locked away for fear of the Jews, life was remarkably tough. For the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, life was remarkably tough, and they had forgotten some of the things that Jesus said. So how do we counter that? Well, I think number one, we have a strong background in the Word. Mm. And how do you do that? Well, you read it daily. Think about reading the Bible not as something to have accomplished, but something to always be doing. So it's kind of like working out. You know, a lot of our listeners know I've been through a weight loss journey and got up to 365 pounds, and now I live, you know, somewhere between 215 and 220. And for the longest time, I thought, oh, I'll work out to reach my goal and then I'll be done. Well, that's how you fail at losing weight.
Right, right.
You know, you might reach your goal and then you quit, go back to eating junk, and you gain 20 pounds plus 10. Yeah, I mean, So it's kind of like working out. You read the Bible every day, and you may not notice a difference after one day of reading the Bible. Just like you may go to the gym and bench press and you go back home and look in the mirror and you haven't changed. But as you read scripture day after day over a period of time, over a period of months or years or decades, it's the same as when you go to the gym and you do the same exercises over a period of months or years or decades. You've been transformed, but it comes incrementally by doing the right things on a regular basis. So when you approach reading the Bible, you may say, well, I've already read Luke 24. Well, okay, that doesn't mean you can't read it again. That's kind of like saying, well, I've already done a curl with a dumbbell. Well, okay, do another one. You know, that's just going to strengthen you. It's just going to help you. So having a background in the Word of God is crucial. But then also, when difficulties come, going to God and saying, Lord, it's easy for me to forget, and I know I'm forgetting some things from you right now, so speak to my heart. Remind me what you've already said, and help me to stand firm in the faith of what I can't see, and help me to walk by faith and not by sight, even through this moment.
Yeah, and that two-pronged strategy really makes sense. It's, you know, what can we do? We can read the Bible, we can pray. And then second, we just give it to God. Like, He's the one who's going to accomplish it. It reminds me of the Exodus story. And then, you know, when it's time for the Exodus in Exodus 6, you know, Moses is telling the Israelites, you know, what's going to happen. But it says, Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. So in Jewish thought, it's like, they were just at the point where they were being crushed so much, they just couldn't believe him. It was just impossible.
Yeah.
But it was at that point where God came in and delivered them with, you know, miraculous signs and miracles and plagues.
Yeah.
You know, it's him that accomplishes these things for us, and we can only do what we can do with our putting our faith in him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's beautiful how you go back and you look at the various major components of scripture, and you see God foreshadowing Christ, then God bringing Christ, and then God saying, hey, look to Christ, mm-hmm. you know, look back to Christ, but look to what Christ is doing actively in your life now. And we all in this sin-fallen world can very easily fall into the temptation to just walk by sight. And God says, walk by faith. And so we have to continue to come back to that. Lord, it's what I'm seeing is not great right now. Mm-hmm. Help me see beyond that.
Mm. Wow. Well, Jeff, this has been an incredible time leading up to Easter and coming through Easter. Are we continuing in this sermon series, or do we have a different sermon series coming up?
So here's what we're going to do. So here in a couple weeks, I'm taking about 25 folks who are either from our church or affiliated with our church on a journey across to the other side of the world to follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. So we're going to be going to Greece, and we will come over to Turkey and Ephesus, and then come back to Greece, and then we're going to finish in Rome. So we are following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, and I am just so excited. What I want to do, though, so I've got two more Sundays before, Lord willing, we make that trip, and then Alex Watkins is going to fill in for me on those two Sundays. So I told him, man, you preach what the Lord leads you to preach. So what I want to do is to kind of bring our Decided series to a crescendoed close. You know, we've already talked about Saul of Tarsus, whom we know as the Apostle Paul. We've already talked about Peter, the Apostle. But really, we talked about their journeys when they were young, and not only young in their faith, but chronologically young, and how the Lord kind of got a hold of them. What I want to do is come back and look at the back end of their lives, because as I mentioned on Easter Sunday, you know, we see Peter in a lot of different moments of his life. We see him before he's given himself to Christ. We see him give himself to Christ. We see him be the impetuous leader of the disciples who speaks before he thinks, and we see him deny Christ, and then we see him reinstated, and then we see this Peter who couldn't even say to a slave girl, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, then stand in Jerusalem, the city that had just crucified Jesus on the day of Pentecost, and proclaim Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. And we see him do that repeatedly throughout the book of Acts. We see him be used instrumentally in the conversion of the first Gentile. And we see Peter's leadership in the church. I want us to look at Peter's life as he's nearing the end of life on this earth. And the same with Paul. You know, we see Paul on his way to Damascus being blinded by Jesus himself and changing direction. And we kind of see Paul's journey as we look through Acts and the missionary journeys and things of that nature. But I want us to look at, I'm going to say old man Paul, you know, as compared to young man Paul. But the one who has been through following Jesus in a sin-fallen world and quite frankly, dealing with all the things he dealt with. And as he looks back over his life and as he looks forward to heaven, what did he learn? What can we glean? So we're going to do two more weeks in the Decided series, and we're going to look at Peter and Paul. And then Alex is going to preach those two Sundays that I'm out. He's coming from Philippians. He's already told me what he's going to preach about, and it's going to be so good. One of the things that's really cool, and Lord willing, this will work out. So listeners to the podcast, you're getting kind of a sneak preview of one of the coolest things we're going to try to do. So in the time between the times, between Sunday and Sunday, our group will, Lord willing, actually go to Philippi. So Chad Walden's going to be with me, and he's going to be able to record. And so we're going to be able to record from Philippi to send a video back and play it during the worship service so that people can see, oh, you know, Paul was really writing to real people who lived in a real place, and that's the place. That's it. And I'm really excited about that. So that's going to be a surprise, but that's a little bonus for you podcast listeners. You already know the surprise is coming. So pray that that all works out, because I think that would be really, really cool.
Amen. Maybe so.
Yeah. And then after that, I don't know. I am kind of like with the Holy Land last year. I devoted 6 weeks kind of through the summer to just a sermon series entitled From the Holy Land. And so I've kind of done the same thing, just to say, from this journey of immersive discipleship experience, following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, Lord, what are you going to teach us? Now, through the summer, we're also going to have things like Mother's Day and Father's Day, and we'll have graduation Sunday, and we'll have, you know, all the things that happen during the summer. So there will be some particular themes that we'll approach in worship, but that's the idea. So I'm really looking forward to it, and really looking forward to what God is going to teach us as we go to some of the places where the Bible happened. Very excited about that.
Yeah, that is really exciting. Well, thank you for bringing us in on that little secret. And we're looking forward to these upcoming weeks. This is going to be fun.
Yes, sir. Me too.
Jeff, can you pray us out for today?
Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For just as Jesus is raised from the dead, so also will all of us who trust and follow Jesus Christ as Lord likewise be raised from the dead. And just as Jesus had a resurrection body, we will have a resurrection body. And what a beautiful time of living with you the way that it ought to have been in the first place, before sin ever entered the picture. Lord, what great joy we have as believers to know that this world is not our home, and you have a greater future reality for all of us in Jesus Christ. So Lord, let us live that way. Let us live as those who have the hope of glory embedded in the deepest parts of our soul through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to our channel and submit a question to the link in our show notes. For even more First Baptist content, visit firstbaptistbg.org. Our engineer is Elliot Beckley, and our editors are Chadwick Walden and Tejon Bumpus.